Welcome, everybody, to a special championship edition of the podcast.
AKA, he can't stop wearing that belt, but I can't blame him.
I wear it to work every day. They say dress for the job you want, not the job you have.
I wish people dressed for that job in regular life, not you know, in WWE.
They don't let me wear the tights anymore. Gotta wear a suit.
Decent exposure is a class 2 felony, Josh.
So I'm like Ric Flair. Limousine Ryan, kiss stealing, profiling. Jet flying.
Yes. Woo!
Ow.
By the way, did you see the thumbnail for the wrestling podcast?
What was the thumbnail? I thought I saw it, but
it's
I can't remember.
It's me yelling in your face. It's perfect. So I was gonna make a custom thumbnail like I normally do. But then I was like, wait a second, this thumbnail that YouTube set up is perfect. And I left it in there. Nice. So welcome to a special Austin 316 day of the podcast. We're filming it early because somebody's out of town this weekend.
Yep.
So we got to film it early, so that's why there's no Izzo, because he's doing his church thing on Thursday, because between the three of us, he's the best one. So Nelson is playing Dragon Ball Z Budokai 36, End of the World Edition. That's about right.
Well, those are all names of games, I think. But it is Dragon Ball. It's Universe 2.
Universe 2?
Ah, whatever. It doesn't matter.
Find all the balls and caress them. This can't get claimed by Nintendo this week.
No.
Remember when I told you about the Dude Soup podcast when they were all talking about the Nintendo Switch and Zelda and Bruce? Like, you just see him over there sitting by himself because he didn't have a Switch or Zelda. Just, like, looking sad and
wiping. You mean like me?
Yeah. Somebody loaned him a Switch and Zelda, so he's been streaming it.
Oh, really?
And he keeps
getting struck, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's getting copyright struck by Nintendo. So people donate money during the stream because he live streams it.
Yeah.
I'd watch the live stream, but he does it 10 o'clock their time.
Oh, dude, you're at work usually, right?
No, we're asleep. 10 o'clock p.m. their time.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
All right.
So I'm asleep most nights.
Yeah, because that's midnight. Well, especially now since you know you're done with Legend of Zelda.
They're in California. That's 1 o'clock in the morning our time. Math was never his strong suit, ladies and gentlemen. 3-hour time difference.
Yeah.
So he jokes about that. So whenever someone, like, donates while watching the stream, he thanks them and says everything because Nintendo keeps copyright claiming them. Nintendo, you gotta stop doing that shit. Nobody else does that but you and Konami. Because fuck Konami.
And Capcom.
Yeah, that's right. Capcom. That's weird, though. We've played other Capcom games and never got copyright
struck. I think it was because of that cutscene that we played. Because remember, you said it was only for
get why the cutscene was
that's
copyright strike.
I don't understand it, but
so let's see. Capcom, Nintendo, Konami, David Bowie's estate, and the WWE have all copyright struck us. So that's awesome. Well, copyright claim. We haven't gotten a copyright strike.
Yeah.
Takedown notices get you in bad standing. We haven't had that yet, thankfully.
Oh, no, he's on me!
What I do, though, is I'll turn off the ad revenue for those videos. I'm like, all right, fuck you. You're not going to make money either. Getting to the topics at hand. We got a major topic to talk about, but we got some little ones to talk about. First up, Matrix reboot, possibly starring Michael B. Jordan.
I don't know if that's a good idea.
Yeah, considering there's been 3 Matrix movies and only one was good.
Yeah.
The Wachowski brothers or sisters or
Wachowski
whatever they
are. Wachowski
siblings
is what they call themselves.
They are. They're both men. You're born men, you're men. It's not a political statement. That's science. They're not involved in it. Keanu Reeves said he'd be involved if the Wachowskis were involved, but they're not involved, so he's not going to be involved.
Oh, man. Now I really don't know how that's a good idea.
I don't know if we need a Matrix reboot.
Yeah, I don't think we need one.
It's just...
And I thought they were trying to make a fourth anyway, like an actual sequel.
I don't even know if we need an actual sequel.
I didn't say I wanted it, but...
The first Matrix was a really good movie, and in hindsight, it should have just been one movie.
It really should
have been. Because it did end kind of open-ended, but you just assumed that Neo was going to beat the Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
And then they... Excuse me. That's going to be a long string of sneezes, probably. And you just assume Neo was going to beat the Matrix and everybody lived happily ever after. Yeah. And then they made two sequels, which were convoluted, confusing, and just terrible.
Yep.
Brawley's kicking your ass. That's why he's not on the couch. He's in the game whooping Nelson.
He also has like four times as many bars as I do, and nobody else is doing shit. Oh, man.
He beat your ass.
Yeah.
In Nelson's defense, he's like beaten this game, and now he's on the like expert hard level, so.
Mm-hmm.
So that's his defense. I don't buy it, though. So Michael B. Jordan, I guess he's going to be... I don't know if they... See, they're rebooting it, so I wouldn't even retell the same story.
All I want to do is just walk up to Michael B. Jordan and just be like, don't do reboots anymore. Just don't. Just don't do it.
He's one for two. Creed was good.
That's right. I forgot that was a reboot.
A sequel reboot.
It's like a soft reboot.
Yeah, kind of thing.
Yeah, I forget that. But yeah, I mean... And then he got Fan4Stick.
It wasn't his fault, though.
It wasn't his fault, but neither will the Matrix.
I don't know. You would think his stock would be higher, but he's not doing too much, so. Mm. Which is weird.
It is.
There are a lot of shitty actors getting work, and you don't see Michael B. Jordan too much stuff. In fact, until I saw the reboot news for Matrix, I'd forgotten about him. And I watched Creed last week.
That's awful.
So,
who's this guy?
He needs work. But he needs work in something good. Isn't he in Black Panther, though?
I believe he is going to be the Black Panther. Yeah,
I think he's
going
to be a villain in the Black Panther.
Yeah. I think after Fan4Stick, I think he's trying to pick his roles a little bit more carefully. But then... jumping on the Matrix reboot before there's any really hard news about it.
Which just makes me think that Warner Brothers is now just throwing shit at the wall and hoping it sticks.
Yeah!
They're rewriting Batman, and apparently, like, part of the delay was Ben Affleck just got out of rehab.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, what?
And also, Aquaman's been pushed back to December.
Oh, has it?
Next year.
Oh, I didn't realize
which
that.
Which, I'll tell you one thing, man. If I was Disney, I'd pull another power play, because... the Han Solo movie's not supposed to come out, or it's coming out in May instead of December, because you know the new Star Wars movies have been December.
Yeah.
I'd push that shit back to December. I'd continue to fuck with Warner Brothers. Nah, bitch, we own you. Get off this dish.
Move, bitch! Get out the way!
I would totally do it if I was Disney. I would just be swinging my big dick around and smacking them right in the face with it.
It's a bullwhip.
Exactly. Just get off this date, just like they did with Captain America.
Oh man,
that's how you knew that
stuff was going awry.
That WB did not have faith in Batman vs Superman. Because how does Captain America push Batman vs Superman off a premiere date?
That's very true.
That's just Disney swinging their big dick around, their big black mouse dick.
Jeez.
Whack, whack, whack. Just whapping studios in the face with it.
Goodness.
Take it. You like it.
You love it.
You love it.
Eat it.
Once you go Mickey, you like his dicky.
Oh.
That works for me. That's funny. Oh. Hilarious. Speaking of Disney, that's called a segue, Nelson.
Yes.
Capcom is releasing the Disney Afternoon Pack, which is their 8... It's the classic 8-bit games with HD, I guess, backgrounds. Featuring the original DuckTales, Darkwing Duck, Tailspin, and Chippendale Rescue Rangers game. I've played one of them.
When is that coming out again?
Soon. I didn't write the premiere date down.
It's gonna have to get got.
I think it's only gonna be like $20.
Especially after I just sang the Disney Afternoon theme song.
I'm just gonna download it. I'm not even gonna bother buying a hard copy.
Mm-hmm.
Just gonna download it. That'd be great if it came out for the Switch. I'd download that.
That would be perfect for the Switch.
And I don't see why it wouldn't come out for the Switch.
Because they're 8-bit games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty sure it can render that. After the beauty that is Legend of Zelda.
Oh, man, yeah.
Not Hyrule Warriors, Legends of the Breath of the Wild.
Well, I'm sure that sequel's going to be awesome, too.
Oh, yep. Whenever they make that. But before they make that, we're getting Fire Emblem Warriors coming out this fall.
Oh, that's right! That's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah. And also we're getting Heroes, which is basically the same thing, Dragon Quest Heroes.
Ooh.
That's already on the PS4, but that's coming to the Switch. Tell you one thing, man. It's going to be all I can not to buy games in Japan while I'm over there. Because that's already out over there on the Switch. And I just feel like...
You're going to drop like 20 pounds because you haven't been eating. It's buying video games.
Dude, I'm just playing the Switch.
Josh finally got ripped until he got back to the States and he started eating again.
Nah. See, I maintain great. It's just getting there.
Mm.
Like, I don't put on weight unless I'm trying to. So, I mean, I don't gain weight because my diet's never that bad.
As he says that, as I housed frickin' Wendy's right before we started recording.
Yep.
Like I said on the other podcast, I like to live happy, not healthy.
I like to live healthy. I'm also happy because I've learned to like a lot of the.
Now I just need to get back. Yeah, I just need to get back on the wagon of that. It's hard when you're kind of on the broke side for a little bit. It's kind of hard to eat healthy.
Yeah. And speaking of the Switch, another segue, Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
In its first week, it sold 1.5 million units. Its first week, and 89% attach rate for The Legend of Zelda. So that sold 1.3 million.
Oh man, yeah. That's...
And that's just physical sales that were tracked. So I mean, because I'm thinking like, what did the other 11% buy? Because I mean, 1-2 Switch and Bomberman, those aren't system sellers. So I have to imagine maybe that 11% bought Legend of Zelda digitally. Maybe. So, yeah, that was a great launch for Nintendo.
Oh, he came right at me!
It's outpacing the Wii, and it's on pace with the PS4 and the Xbox One. Mm. So, I mean, as long as Nintendo can keep a healthy supply in going out through the year. Because they've got... I think Nintendo's got a brilliant release strategy where they didn't release all the big games at once. We got Zelda, and then at the end of April, we're getting Mario Kart. And then in the summer, we're getting Splatoon 2.
Yeah.
And then we're getting Mario in the fall. And plus other big games come in between there. But those are Nintendo's heavy hitters.
Mm.
So I think it's a brilliant release schedule that Nintendo's doing. How are you not suffocating, by the way?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Super Saiyan powers?
Maybe.
Kind of, maybe. I don't know. Oh! Get off me!
Whoop his ass, Brawly. Oof. Punch to the back. Kick.
Oh, no.
Oh, speaking of Funhouse, they did a live stream today, which I had on in the background. They were doing the WWE stuff.
Yeah. Oh, were they?
It was freaking... Oh, it was so funny. It was so hilarious. And I was just bored when I was at home after the gym, and I just had YouTube on, and it was just automatically playing shit. It was playing that 1-2 either 1-2 Switch drunk stream again.
Yeah.
And just that moment where Bruce and Lawrence punch each other's knuckles.
Oh, yeah. That was...
Oh, and I just love how it zooms in on the other three's reaction to that.
Well, seeing as I've done that before, that's not comfortable.
No, it's not. It hurts a lot.
Yeah.
But no, the 1-2 Switch is off to a great start, and I think it's a nifty system, but once again, Nintendo is doing something different than everybody else, so they just have to have third-party support.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping... What I would do, especially if Setsuna and... that like 2D Squaresoft RPG do well on the system. If I was Square Enix, I would re-release my old school JRPGs on it, like Final Fantasy 1 through probably 12. Well, 11's online, but
yeah,
like 1 through 12, because wasn't 12 PS3?
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, the Switch can run that.
Yeah.
So you just re-release those, and you release the PlayStation versions of 1 through 6, you know, with the cutscenes and everything like that.
Yeah.
Re-release Chrono Trigger, so I can buy it
for, yet again.
fourth time, I think.
Is it the fourth
time? Yeah, it would be the fourth, because I own SNES, PlayStation, and the DS version.
I just have it on the PS1.
Yeah. So.
And I still need to finish it, because I'm an awful person.
God, it's a great game. I don't know how you haven't finished it yet. So yeah, I would do that. Like I would, if maybe the other mother games that never come to the U.S. Earthbound games.
That'd be pretty cool, actually.
Yeah. Though, you know, I'm gonna get hate for this. Played Earthbound finally. Played on my Wii U.
Yeah.
Not a fan of the combat system. It's really irritating.
Is it?
Because it's not a traditional RPG combat system, and I don't like it.
Hmm.
Like, the story is cute and all, and the characters are quirky and original.
Yeah.
Don't like the combat system. It is annoying.
What is the combat system like, if there's anything akin to it?
Because
I've never played it,
obviously. It's not like a traditional turn-based RPG. I'll have to show you. I can't really describe it. It's something I can't describe. Because
off the top of my head, I can think of a couple of non-traditional JRPG fight systems. Legendary Dragoon being one of them.
No, this is completely different from everything. It's really hard to describe. I'd have to show it to you.
Okay.
So yeah, there's that. And I know this isn't a wrestling podcast, but this came up today, the day after we filmed our other podcast. There's a rumor that they've already booked the WrestleMania 34 main event. That's Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns for the Universal title. It's not Pro Wrestling Insider. It was another one of those dirt sheet things reporting this rumor.
Was it The Torch?
No. It was Pro Wrestling something.
ProWrestling.com?
No.
Okay.
It's not one that I've readily heard of.
Oh, really?
But a lot of people are reporting on the rumor, which is the only reason why I made mention of it. Because, like, What Culture, Steven Larson.
Okay.
And some other people are reporting on it that I trust.
Yeah.
And so basically the whole thing is it's supposed to be like the WWE's going ahead with Roman Reigns as the guy to replace John Cena. And this is supposed to be his big coronation, which was supposed to be last year's WrestleMania, and he got booed out of the building. So it's just, it's time to cut bait, WWE. It's just, we're not going to like Roman if you force him on us.
Yeah. Though I read an interesting article, though I still hold my breath on them turning him heel. It's just they're talking about how pretty much the summary was, you know, when you book someone a current gen guy versus a legend, the legends are 9 times out of 10 booked as the face, and you're 100% a heel. And then given the last two performances of Roman Reigns these past 2 weeks, these were not middle of the road like tactics toward the end of his promo. These were heel tactics, heel promos.
He wasn't a heel towards Shawn Michaels.
He was kind of a dick to Shawn Michaels.
No, he was just saying,
like, he gave him his due in the beginning, but then he hits him with that, with all due respect, Undertaker retired you, and I'm going to retire him. The thing that really muddies the water, and I agree with this article, I wish I could remember who wrote it, is Braun Strowman really muddies the water, because you don't know where, I mean, everything seems like it's still business as usual.
It is, because Braun Strowman attacks him from behind, which is a heel move.
Yeah.
Which means Roman Reigns is the face.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, they're booking him as a face. They're not booking him as a heel. He's not going to turn heel. Mm. WWE has already decided that. They're going to ram him down your throat, whether you like it or not, like Disney and their big black Mickey dick.
Jesus.
But the big story for today is Zelda fanboys have gone insane. And I'm a fanboy of Zelda. I love Zelda. It's my favorite franchise. Breath of the Wild might have usurped Chrono Trigger as my favorite game of all time.
Is this in to do with that article you wrote?
Yes. So Jim Sterling did his review on Zelda. He said it was a good game. Gave it a 7 out of 10. Mm-hmm. Now the 7 out of 10 dropped its Metacritic score from a 98 to a 97. Perish the thought. And Zelda fans were none too happy with Jim, and tried to take over social media, his YouTube channel. DDoS attacked his site, and just went ape shit over a 7 out of 10. Granted, I disagree with that score. Mm-hmm. I would probably give Breath of the Wild probably 9.5.
Mm-hmm.
It's not perfect. It has things that I dislike, and Jim brings up good points. Yeah. Like, he talks about the breakable weapons and how brittle your weapons are.
That's
which
kind of annoying.
Which I agree with, because it's one thing to have breakable weapons, but if I, like, swing a sword 4 times and it breaks,
yeah,
that's ridiculous. Like, shit needs to be stronger. And Jim does bring up a good point of to where you start saving your good weapons because you don't want to waste them on just regular bad guys, because you don't want them to break. So you save weapons that you end up never using. So I saved a bunch of weapons, and I got the Master Sword before I took on three of the four dungeons and Ganon.
Mm-hmm.
So, since I got the Master Sword so early, I didn't really use my other weapons on bosses. I used the Master Sword.
Yeah.
Because that doesn't break, and as long as you save it for the bosses, it's perfectly fine to use.
Yeah, I mean, when you put it that way, yeah, that definitely makes some sense.
But I get what Nintendo was trying to do, make you use other weapons,
mm-hmm.
but in all reality, they should have you know, made the weapons a little more durable.
Yeah.
He brings that up. Shit, what else did he bring up in his review? Because he brought up one thing that I disagreed with that he didn't like. The stamina meter. He hated the stamina meter, which never really bugged me. Like, I never really had a problem with the stamina meter. I didn't like how you would drown if you ran out of stamina in the water, especially if you were right by land. But I never really saw the stamina meter as a problem or a hiccup. He didn't like it so much, which I found peculiar since he never bitched about the stamina meter in Neo, where that shit runs out while you're fighting and leaves you completely vulnerable to an ass whooping if you're not paying attention to it. But in Zelda, it doesn't run down at all during battle. You're perfectly fine in battle. Like, it doesn't go down at all. It only goes down when you sprint, climb, and swim. Actually, it does go down in battle if you charge up your spin slash. So it does go down for that.
All right.
But it quickly recharges after that. Unlike Neo, where you run out of stamina, your guy, for like 2 or 3 seconds, is vulnerable.
Yeah, I've seen those fights of yours.
Yeah, because sometimes when you're in a hectic boss battle, you click the recharge button, but you miss it.
Yeah.
You are fucked. Just like you are right now going against Grape Ape, Nappa, and Vegeta.
Oh!
Looks like they're pretty weak.
Yeah, they might be a little weak.
So yeah, it's just one of those things, like, I don't even say it was nitpicky, because he gave it a 7 out of 10, which is a good score, and Jim is a pretty tough reviewer a lot of times.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't, maybe he was doing it, maybe, like, a lot of people are saying he's doing it for attention. Maybe his real review could have been an 8 out of 10, and he dropped it down 1 point to get attention. I'm not going to say he did or didn't.
Yeah, because we don't know.
It's a possibility, but I mean, in the end, he says it was a good game. And in the end, who cares if the score is a 97 or a 98 overall? Because
that really matters is your personal opinion if you buy it.
What I brought up in the article is, with all the tens it was receiving and just universal praise, not necessarily universal perfection, but universal praise, I don't think Jim's score affected any sales at all. I don't think anybody who was intending on buying Zelda or was on the fence for buying Zelda did not buy Zelda because of Jim's 7 out of 10, which again, good score.
Yeah.
So that's just the thing. So people got up in uproar for nothing.
Yeah, that seems a bit excessive to
I think it speaks to a whole new thing with fanboys. Like, if you look at the Metacritic user score for Zelda, people who don't like the game or people who felt the game had too high of a score were giving it 0s out of 10, 1s out of 10s, and they admitted freely they had never played the game. Which then prompted other users to give it 10 out of 10s when the game hadn't been out long enough for them to really give it a real score yet. Because I haven't even, like, I'm not going to at this point, but I hadn't posted a review score because I felt I hadn't played enough of the game to give it a proper review. So, I just think people are getting uptight over nothing.
Yeah, they're getting way too upset over something that, in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, just like kind of like when No Man's Sky came out, Jim got a lot of flack for giving No Man's Sky a bad review.
That game was boring.
And that game sucked. That was a waste of my money.
I was so bummed when I saw you play it and saw what the game was, because I was expecting a lot more.
So was I, and I was playing it, and I put a good 10, 15 hours in that game before I was like, nope, time to trade it in. And luckily for me, when I did decide to trade it in, Best Buy was doing like plus 50% on the trade-in.
Just imagine how pissed I would have been had I got the game, Josh.
Yeah, so I think in the end, I lost $3.
I would have been out however much the PlayStation 4 was at the time.
Yeah, so it's just like, and then the death threats that No Man's Sky's developer, Hello Games, got when they delayed it like 2 months. It was supposed to come out in like June and came out in July or August, or it was supposed to come out in July and came out in September or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's just, people are taking this shit way too seriously. It's a game.
Yeah.
And, you know, a reviewer score doesn't change your opinion on a game, on a movie. If you like it, you like it. You know,
yeah,
there's no need to get ridiculously pissed off about it. Now, are you fighting actual people, or
are
you
these are people's avatars, but they're being controlled. They're like the ghosts from
Forza.
Forza, yeah.
Gotcha. So yeah, it's just ridiculous to me how people get this upset over review scores. It's because you're getting upset over someone's opinion, and this might be worse than political fights on Facebook.
Oh yeah,
because at least political fights, you know, when you're arguing about politics, you are kind of arguing about the future of the country. You might be stupid about it, but at least there's some merit's a bit of a strong term, but I'll go with merit to arguing politics as opposed to arguing over a video game score.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. Because, again, if you like the game, that reviewer score doesn't change the fact. Like, granted, we are in a culture where we like people to agree with us.
Yeah.
So it's nice when I like something and I read a review score, especially of a reviewer I like.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I watched the Dude Soup podcast after Breath of the Wild came out, and they all were glowing about Zelda. You know, it's nice when people you respect and like in the industry like the same things you do. But I also know I'm not going to agree with the guys from Funhouse all the time. They're not going to agree with me. Just like I'm not going to agree with Jim Sterling 100% of the time. Yeah. Like, he loves the Dark Souls games. Mm. Fuck the Dark Souls games.
I
am not a fan of Dark Souls.
It's like, I don't have enough time to just frustrate myself for the rest of the night or however long I decide to play
it. Even though Neo was really hard, I did enjoy Neo, though, at least. Mm-hmm. Like, I enjoyed that a lot more than I did the Dark Souls games. So, it's just a matter of, yes, I like people agreeing with me, but people aren't always going to agree with me.
Very true.
And it's funny, too, because, like, I'm not above it. Like, I don't get pissed about it, but I'm not above it. Like, when we're watching a WWE pay-per-view and I think it's the main event or the booking sucked.
Yeah.
And I'll hop on Twitter to see what other people think.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they agree with me, sometimes they don't. Oh, yeah. But if I see a tweet where, like, let's say Roman Reigns beats The Undertaker, and I'm pissed, and I go on Twitter to check out what tweets are, and I see a lot of people loving it,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to go tweet at those people and berate them for liking it. That's their opinion.
Exactly.
They're Roman Reigns fans. I'm not. Yeah. You know?
Exactly.
So it's just, I think people just need to chill out and just be cool. It's like,
go have a beer, go play Breath of the Wild.
Do some coke. You know, smoke some weed.
All that.
You know, go get a BJ. Do something. Jerk off. Relieve that stress.
However
you do it, you do you.
Exactly.
Probably don't do the coke, though. That's probably a bad idea.
Yeah.
Weed if it's legal in your state, because I'm not going to promote doing illegal things. So if you're in Colorado, California, I think DC, it's kind of legal.
Yes.
So if you're in those areas, go ahead. Smoke your weed. Nelson, you lost.
Yeah, I still cleared it because those guys are a bonus.
So
I still get everything I earned.
So you're not gonna get a Z rank though.
Yeah, get an S rank.
It's not a Z rank though.
Yeah, it didn't help that my freaking backup just died on me.
So let's see. I'm just trying to think of something that I particularly liked a lot and got shit reviews. That's not a movie because that's very subjective, right?
Oh yeah, that's very subjective.
I can't think of a game right now off the top of my head that I really liked that just got panned. I know there's ones out there. I just can't think of any off the top of my head.
Well, I mean, this game right here, I enjoy a lot, and it actually didn't really get the best ratings in the world. It got, like, I think a 6.5 or 7.
Really?
Yeah. Because I was waiting to get this game, but Chandler went ahead and got it without getting the first one.
You know, I can think of one for you is the new Power Rangers beat 'em up. That's getting killed. Actually, for me, Double Dragon 4.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That was getting killed, but you enjoy that game.
I really like it, because it plays just like Double Dragon 2, which I can't understand, if you like Double Dragon 2, how you could pan Double Dragon 4.
Yeah, and then, like for what you were about to say for me, the Power Rangers game, it's getting killed on the ratings, but I still just really enjoy it. I mean, it was, because it was a simple formula.
We're like Overwatch. I don't know why we like that game. Everybody hates Overwatch.
I know, right?
I know. Overwatch sucks.
Battleborn was the superior game.
Battleborn was a superior game. And Evolve, too. That's way better than Overwatch. Actually, I got
another game. I like how you say that when we're downloading.
I know. I got another game. The Force Unleashed 2. You love that game. And that game got killed.
Did it get killed?
Oh, it got killed.
Well, I can see why it got killed. I mean, it was a rushed game.
It was a rushed game and it could DLC than
it
full $60 release.
It should have been a DLC. It really should have. I enjoyed the game for what it was. It was not long enough, and I could tell it was rushed.
Yeah, or your favorite game of all time, Superman 64.
I never personally played that game.
I'm so glad I dodged the bullet on that one.
Devin rented that game, and I was hanging out with him that day, and we're like, damn, this game sucks.
I wanted that game. Good thing we were teenagers.
And didn't have
money.
That kind of money.
Actually, no, we weren't even teenagers yet, because that came out, that was not a launch title, but it came out in the launch window, I think, for the N64, so we were in 8th grade.
Yeah, right.
Oh, dodged a bullet by not having money there.
Ooh, yeah.
And that was actually one of the best-selling games on the N64.
Was it really?
Yeah, I found that out the other day. I was watching.
Did someone pop out of the box and scream out, "Fool you"?
Well, no, I think it's like, I think it's because like a lot of parents and grandparents bought it as like Christmas gifts and stuff like that. Because it's Superman, you know? Yeah, it's Superman. And, you know, coming from the 16 and 8-bit era, you know, you get side-scroller beat-em-ups that you don't realize how bad they are when you're a kid. You just like playing as your favorite characters. Yeah.
Green shoes.
Yeah, because I think my judgment on how bad or good a game was the difficulty.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if I constantly died in it, it sucked, but if I could beat it easily, it was good. Which is not a good barometer for games.
It's not the best barometer, but, you know, you know how that works for yourself. So.
Yeah. So, I mean, I didn't want something overly difficult as a child. I wanted to be able to beat it and have fun.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, so, I mean, in the end, I mean, don't take reviews so seriously, people. Just enjoy the game for what it is.
Yeah, if a reviewer
didn't like the game you liked, who cares? That's their opinion. You already own the game, so it doesn't even matter.
Yeah,
exactly. And again, if you, like, I'm just trying to think what a good review for a game you already own does. I mean, it confirms your purchase, but, I mean, if you like it, you like it. Because let's face it, if I already own The Legend of Zelda, it doesn't matter to me at that point if it sells 1 million copies or a copy.
Yeah.
You know, because I already have the game, so if it goes out of print, it doesn't matter. I own the game. I don't have to worry about purchasing it again, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just kind of blew me away that people, and I keep going back to the fact, he didn't even give it a bad review.
Yeah, that's still a good review.
Yeah, he even says in his review, 7's a good score. It says at the bottom, good.
Yeah. It's not like he's one of those guys that was going and downrating the game and hadn't even played it just because he thought that the game had a...
Yeah, like that, one reviewer on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, that guy.
Who seems to constantly just troll. Like, if something has 100%, he'll automatically give it a rotten review.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, because it'd be one thing if, like, Sterling gave, like, Zelda a 4 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
I would question him on it. Then I could think, oh, he's trolling.
Yeah.
And like I said, maybe in reality, to him, it's an 8 out of 10, but he did put it as a 7 to create some controversy, because Jim thrives on controversy. It fuels his channel and stuff like that. So, I mean, there's a possibility he knocked it down 8 points. But in the end, it's still a good review for the game. And at least he backs it up. He backs up his score. Like, he gives legitimate arguments. Like, and I agree with some of them, like the brittle weapons. I never had any frame rate issues, and some people complain about that, but I never had frame rate issues.
Hmm.
But at the same time, I would say of the many, many hours I put into that game, a lot of it was in the handheld mode, which there were like almost no frame rate issues in handheld.
Yeah, I actually don't recall hearing about the...
most of the frame rate issues were when you had it on the TV.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but since I barely ever played on the TV...
Mm-hmm.
I would say like 75 to 80% of my gameplay.
Oh yeah, you were in front of another TV watching.
Yeah, because usually we had Raw or SmackDown on.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I was playing it while those were on because we have to watch those for the other podcast.
Yes.
So I would get that and play there, and I'd play it on my commute in to and from work. Play it on the shitter.
Mm-hmm.
So, but no, in the end, 7 out of 10 is a good score. Like I said, I never wrote an official review, but I'm gonna say solid 9.5 out of 10. It's not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if things like the brittle weapons thing were addressed,
yeah,
it might have gotten a perfect 10 out of me. But that was annoying, especially early on in the game.
I could see that being really annoying. Very early in the game.
And you know what? I'm not going to spoil anything for anybody in the game, but I will give you a pro tip for when you fight Ganon at the very end of the game. Make sure you're good at those perfect dodges. That will come in handy. So that's my advice to you at the end of the game. Work on those perfect dodges. And I think on that bombshell, on that pro tip, I think that's what we're going to call tonight. Sorry for the shorter, earlier podcast, but someone's got to pack for New York City.
Yes.
He's got to go be an actor. So good night, Canada.
Night, Canada.
Oh, he startled the shit out of me.